And I want to talk to you about some practical, what I think, about abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think it'll just be a theoretical message. I think it'll be practical if I can do what I want to do. All right, here we go. Jesus Christ speaking to the disciples on the last night he spent with them. This John 14, 15, and 16. Great discourse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Of course, a husbandman is the vine keeper. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And get this, every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that may bring forth more fruit. So when you're a fruit bearer, God purges you. We know how that works. Like I remember one time Jim Pope preached here, I really got a lot out of it. It's Brother Bobby's brother, who's just an old country boy, a good preacher. And he preached on sucker tomatoes. And you know, he always said about sucker tomatoes, you got a tomato vine, got all these blossoms on it. And if you really know what you're doing, you'll just get some of the blossoms out of there. Because if you don't, you won't get good tomatoes, you get a bunch of little bitty tomatoes. But if you can kind of get some of the blossoms out, then the other tomatoes that's left, that they bring forth fruit. And that's kind of what the, vine, they say when they have grapevines, that when you cut them down, or when you fruit them, it looks like you kill the vine. You get a whole lot of the, but you hadn't done that at all. You've really done it good, because the next spring is going to come out, and all that old dead wood is going to be able to bear fruit. So sometimes we go through hard times. What God does, he's purging us. You know, you do the best you can. If something bad happens, you say, Lord, what happened? Well, he may just be purging you that you bear forth more fruit. See, every branch that does bear fruit, he purges it that it might bring forth more fruit. So don't get discouraged when you get purged. Now, you're clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Get this now. This is a great verse. This is a wonderful passage here. Abide in me. Remain in me. Abide or remain in me. The Greek word meno. I abide, I remain. I remember when I first studied Greek, that's when we said it. I abide, I remain, I abide. Abide in me, and I in you. If a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, and a branch can't, it's got to be in the vine to bear fruit. If a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. So I want to encourage you. That's what we got to do. Abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just be close to him. Have fellowship with him. Then we will automatically be bearing fruit. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth me, and I in him, the same, bringeth forth much fruit. That's encouraging, isn't it? For without me, you can do, what's the word? Nothing. John 5:5, you can't do anything. And sometimes God lets us fall on our face to learn that lesson all over again. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and here's a clue, and my words abide in you, that's a clue about abiding in him, when his words abiding in us. That's a clue right there. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, and my word remain in you. See, sometimes we get going so busy that the word doesn't really abide in us. We just kind of run through our mind, and maybe a morning devotional, but it hadn't really abode in us. I have that problem all the time. Slow down, Zach, slow down. He that believes in me shall not make haste, what Scripture says. Just think about what you're reading there. Chew on it a little bit. Meditate on it. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And this is the verse that I close with this passage. I love this. Because we want to glorify God, right? Herein, that my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciple. I hope that word picture tonight will stay with you about abiding in Jesus Christ. I want to get as close to the Lord as I possibly can, and then I will be abiding in him. Well, another scripture goes right along with that. It's Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. It's the last part of Paul's prayer. He prayed for those Philippians there in chapter 1. So, Philippians 1:11. Let's look at that one. And I hope you'll get this word picture. Now, I know this is a practical lesson that I think we can give. It'll help, and I get more practical as I go along. And I hope that you carry it with you this week, and you can really be blessed by doing this. All right, now here's a three-part verse. Over in Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. I know we'll get one time preaching a sermon on this in Brother W.J. Berry's house up in North Carolina one time. Being filled with the fruit of righteousness. We want to be filled with fruit. We ought to want to be prolific fruit bearers. Being filled, but then he said, which are by Jesus Christ. This is exactly what he said in John 15. Without me, you can do nothing. We can't bear fruit without him. Being filled with the fruit of righteousness. That's our goal. The way we do it is by Jesus Christ, and the motive is for the glory and praise of God. That's a great verse, isn't it? That'd be a good verse to chew on sometimes. See, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, and how to do that, which are by Jesus Christ, and the goal is for the glory and praise of God. All right, now let's go to Colossians 3:16. And I'm going to also give a parallel in Ephesians 5 if you want to go there also. I'm trying to get practical now. Colossians 3:16 is one of my favorite verses. And then it's a parallel, really, over in the Ephesians letter, chapter 5, which I think will cast a little bit more light on this. Abiding in Christ, we're thinking about that, aren't we? Abiding in the vine, so we can bear fruit. So practically, what am I doing? Let the word of Christ dwell in you. That's that word again, dwell. It may be the same word. I'm not sure. I looked that one up. I'm not sure if it's the same word translated abide or not. But we know it's living in us. It's inside of us. We're thinking about it. I've talked to several people this year that say, I read my Bible through a little bit more slowly than I usually do. I set these goals, maybe read it through the year. That's a good goal. But some people tell me, you know, I'm just kind of getting my chapters knocked out, but kind of running through my mind like a rabbit running through a log. And so I'm going to slow down a little bit and spend more time with the verses and really try to get something out of it. So that's something I'll throw out there for you to think about. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. And this is such a great verse. This word is so wonderful. Every word here is just fantastic. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Isn't that good? Richly. In all wisdom. That's another one, isn't it? Teaching and admonishing one another, because this is bearing fruit. We will be doing this if we do the first. If the word of Christ is dwelling in me richly in all wisdom, I will be just, when I'm talking to you, just we'll be helping each other out. I won't be giving you a lecture. Just my conversation, I'll be helping you out as we interact with each other. Teaching and admonishing one another. And even if we're in church, we'll be doing this. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. There's a vertical dimension and a horizontal dimension. The vertical dimension is I'm interacting with my brothers and sisters. But there's a vertical dimension, I'm interacting with my God. And I'm actually praising my God. And I'm in the Word of God, the Word has thrilled me, and I'm actually singing with grace in my heart to the Lord. Isn't that something? Every day we ought to be doing some of that. I remember one time I heard this old preacher preach a sermon on tape, just set me on fire. But Jimmy Fulmer let me have it over the locker. And he preached on, he wanted to know how long had it been since you have built an altar to God in your heart. And that really got me. So we need to be building an altar to God in our heart and worshiping Him. Well, the parallel over in Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 18 and 19, he said over here that the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So think about that. Let it dwell in you. And make it easy for that to happen. Carry a Bible around with you. Carry a little New Testament around with you. In fact, I bought me one not long ago. I'm kind of proud of this little wrestler right here. Got my name on it. Spent $3 or $4 extra to get my name engraved on this thing. And carry it around with my old friend. That every time I want to pick it out and look at something, I can just do it. We got to make it easy on ourselves and we want to look at the scriptures. Make it convenient. I look at Ephesians chapter 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess. And wine controls us, but also gives us some exhilaration. So I think both those are inherent in this concept that the Spirit is to control us, but also to exhilarate us. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody your heart to the Lord. We ought to be making melody in the heart of the Lord. And even have a thankful attitude, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, 1 John. I hope this is getting practical. I hope it'll be practical. I love 1 John. I quote these verses all the time. But I've got two of them I want to quote to you, or read them to you. And they have to do with abiding in the vine. And one is verse 7. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, that means we're being obedient to God. Walking in the light of the Scripture, doing the best we can to be close to God. Trying to be obey Him. Trying to control our thoughts. Trying to control our behavior. Trying to control our words. Trying to control our attitudes. Doing the best we can. We know we're sinners. We have a hard time. If we walk in the light, as He is the light, yet that we have fellowship one with another. That doesn't mean fellowship with each other either. That's not what this language means. We have fellowship with God, what it means. And that's quite a concept. We got a song in our book, Fellowship with God. We might find that at the end of the service and sing it, if it's in there. I think it's in this number, it's PVH. It's an amazing thing to have fellowship with God. All right, think about it. If we walk in the light, and He's the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's practical cleansing. That doesn't talk about essential cleansing. He's assuming these people are children of God. What He means is our conscience gets defiled. You know they do. We get feeling guilty, right? We get feeling kind of dirty. So what happens is here, if this blood cleanses, and we realize we are saved by His wonderful grace, that we can have fellowship with Him. The devil will try to keep us away from Him because we do feel our sins. So if we walk in the light, He's in the light. We have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's practical. Then verse 8 said, if we say we have not sinned, or say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Then, verse 9, practical, right? Okay, we've been trying to walk with God, but we have messed up. We have broken fellowship temporarily with God because we have done something we shouldn't have done. So, here's our great verse. You know it by memory, so chew on it. If we confess our sins, how long has it been since you've done that? Confess, it would all be done daily. We ought to keep short accounts with God. If we confess our sins, that word, confess, homologeo, it really means to agree with. What that means is this, like I spoke here Sunday night. Remember that? I talked on the horror of sin and the wonder of salvation. And sin is a horrible thing. So what I'm doing is I confess my sin. I'm admitting how bad it is. I'm not trying to mitigate it. I'm not trying to say, well, somebody made me do it. That's how I am. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. He's based on His own character, not on my emotions. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, get this, from all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? That's a practical. That's how we stay in the vine. We confess our sins and receive His forgiveness. Now, let me give you a hint on that. I got this from Jay Adams. He said, well, you know, he said, we've done that, but I don't feel like I've been forgiven. But he says that, and he's right, that the instant you confess, God did forgive you because He said that. If we confess our sins, His faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So here's what he says. And I think he's right. He said, here's the point. God does forgive us when we confess our sins sincerely, but we don't trust ourselves. So we don't feel too good about it. Let's just say that one of my sins is, I don't know, maybe saying bad things. Let's say that. I'll just use that one. Saying something I should, maybe being, real sarcastic. So I've done it, and I've confessed it, but I don't feel good because I don't trust myself. But he said the longer you go not doing that sin, the better you feel about it because you start trusting yourself. And I think he's right about that. But don't depend on the feeling about the forgiveness that has been given. You just don't feel it yet. The feeling will come. The more obedient we are, the more the feeling will come. But the minute you confess, that's what this says right here, right? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And I love this, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's taking that spiritual shower, getting refreshed, getting the dirt off. And so that's walking close to God. Now, let's look at Psalm 19. God gave me all these scriptures today. This morning, I know He gave them to me. I knew that somebody needed it here. We all need it. In fact, I've been enjoying it myself for my whole life. But Psalm 19, I give you a few. Because one of the practical ways we abide in Him, as we've already said, is to let His Word dwell in us richly in all wisdom. And so Psalm 19, just a couple of verses. I won't read the whole psalm. It's a great psalm. We know it's a wonderful psalm. But I want to read you just two verses about the Word of God. Verse 10 and 11. Ready? 10 and 11. Moreover, more to be desired today, that's the Word of God. He has these many descriptions of the Word of God above here. Six descriptions of the Word of God. Testimonies, other things that He said, the law of the Lord and all that. More to be desired are they than gold, yet much fine gold. That's how valuable they are. And He means that. A person would be better off being poverty stricken, but can enjoy God's word, than a person to be not born again and have all the money in the world can't enjoy God's word. More to be desired are they than gold, yet much fine gold, but get this, it's also ought to be pleasant to us. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. We ought to want to stay close to God, to His words that way in our lives. We delight in His holy word. More to be desired, more to be desired of them than gold, yet much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them the great reward. That says it's worth it. It's valuable to obey God. See, some people may say, well, you know, it's not going to do all that good. You know, if you're disobedient, you may get a little slap on the wrist. It's not that important. And so what's the big deal about being real scrupulous about obeying God? But he says here, moreover, by them is our servant warned. Get this. In keeping of them, there's great reward. We got to keep telling ourselves that because it's the truth. Because the devil will try to break us down and say, well, why be so strict? Everybody, the world's getting kind of loose anyway. All right. How about 1 Peter 2:1? Right along the same line. Almost all of these be along the same line. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Speaking of the Word of God, again, I'll just quote it. I'm going to quote the whole verse because I want to talk about the whole verse. And newborn babes desiring, and we got some newborn babes in our church, We know how much they like to eat. And you're born by desiring the sense of the word. But why? That we may grow thereby. We ought to want to grow. We ought to want to grow. So we're growing, we're bearing fruit, we're going to find God. So as newborn babes, desiring the sense of the word we may grow thereby. See, I think all these scriptures are really on target, don't you? About abiding in the vine. How am I abiding in the vine? Well, I'm confessing my sins. I'm trying to be obedient. I'm in God's word. I'm meditating on God's word. I'm thinking about God's word. And along that same line, how about Psalm chapter 1, verse 2? We know that, don't we? His delight. His delight. Break into that psalm, not quoting the whole psalm. You know it. His delight in the law of the Lord, and his law that he meditate day and night. Meditate. That's a powerful word, meditate. If you want to have some fun, look that Hebrew word up sometimes, the word meditate. And the first time I did it, it just thrilled me. And it still thrilled me, but of course the first time, even better. But I thought when I looked that word up the first time, I said, what in the world? It means to mutter. Mutter. So how in the world can that meditate? Then I got to thinking about it and studying further. And what it says, have you ever done this? Have you been in really, really, really deep thought? Just, I mean, and you're talking to yourself. That's what that's all about. You're so deep in thought, so engrossed in what you're doing, and so excited about it, thrilled about it, you're talking to yourself. It's like a cow chewing the cud and getting everything you get out of it. Isn't that beautiful? So do that. See, that's the body of the vine. That's when the word power in your life. And a lot of he delight in the law of the Lord, and a lot of he meditate, get this, day and night. What better way to go to sleep at night than to have some portion of the Word of God? Maybe read it just before you go to bed, maybe have it on an audio thing, I don't know. Thinking about it. Well, I think about the State of the Union. I didn't even hear it last night. I don't want to hear it. And I didn't listen to it. I didn't even go to it. I had my head told in the sand, but I rubbed my tongue on God's Word. And you've got to do a lot of that. That's the abiding of the vine. Okay, just a few more we'll be through. I got two that kind of clash together. Now, I'm trying to be practical as I can about abiding in the vine, right? So let's go to Philippians chapter 4. You know this one. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, which you can probably quote that. So I hope you'll pay attention to these words and write them down and make a mental note of them. And that we can go back to John 15 in your mind and say, I want to abide in the vine because I'm going to bear fruit if I abide in the vine. I can, if I'm not in the vine, closely in the vine, getting nurtured from Jesus Christ, I'm not going to wither up. So here we go. This great verses, aren't they? Be careful for nothing. That means don't be overly concerned about anything. It does not mean be careless or irresponsible. It doesn't mean that. It's the same word exactly translated. It's translated to take no thought over in the Sermon on the Mount. Take no thought for tomorrow. It doesn't mean we don't try to plan for tomorrow. It really could be translated to take no anxious thought for tomorrow. So you think about that. Mike, even on your speech that you go to in the morning, you think about that. Be careful for nothing. See, we tend to do that, don't we? There's a lot of things could get us out of shape. And the devil wants to do that. He gets so much thinking of our problems, which our problems are really real, but he wants us to think about them, contrary to them so much, we have our fellowship with God broken. We'll give him the glory we ought to be giving him. Be careful for nothing, but everything. By prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. All those elements. Prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And then hear the great promise. The peace of God, it passes all understanding. People can't understand it. We can't understand it. So how in the world can I be so calm in the middle of these troubles? And the peace of God that passes all understanding should keep your heart in mind. That word keep means to guard. It's like a sentinel called peace, walking back and forth before your heart and guarding it. Isn't that beautiful? And the peace of God which passes all understanding should keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. All right, another verse that's a parallel to that, practically, is 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. I think that's part of abiding in the vine. I think this is all part of abiding in the vine. 1 Peter 5:7. Now this great, great verse. Casting all your care, you're throwing it on him. Casting all your care upon him. And wonder of wonders, wonder of wonders. The next clause, wonder of wonders. Because he cares for you. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And that's how he cares for us. I like it when somebody cares for me. He cares for his people. Isn't that beautiful? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And then my last verse is a promise that God gives us. And this is abiding in the vine. Over in James chapter 4, verse 8. I'll just quote it. Could get the whole context, but I don't want the whole context necessarily right now. It's a promise he gives us. Draw nigh to God and finish it for me. And he'll draw nigh to you. That's a promise. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. That's a promise. So let me summarize a little bit. I start out in John 15, and my theme is abiding in the vine. I want to bear fruit. I can't do it in the energy of the flesh. I can't do it just by making resolutions. Nothing wrong with resolutions. Just making resolutions by themselves won't do it. I want to grow. So what I'm ready to concentrate on really is fellowshipping with the Lord. And things just kind of fall into place. It kind of reminds me of Matthew 6:33. If I seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, all the things I really need to be added to me. That's talking about material things. If I think of things true spiritually. If I really make my main aim is trying to stay in fellowship with God and loving him and lavishing my love on him, then I believe that then that's the body of the vine. I'm going to be amazed at how much fruit I'll be bearing. Another one, let me give you this while I'm at it. It's over. I didn't have this written down, but look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live, by faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. He gave himself for me. Isn't that something? We're really doing it. You see, isn't that amazing verse? But he's doing it really in us, what he's doing. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. See, I'm living. But Christ lives in me. And the life I now live by faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that beautiful?